Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, to the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realms of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And today we have two amazing men with us, Chaplain Dan Rodriguez and Ken Farrington. They're both active and key leaders in the Calvary Jail Ministry in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we're so excited to hear how they're spreading the gospel to those that are incarcerated, to give them a unique kind of freedom while they are incarcerated. They can be free with Christ while still in prison. And so when they're released, they can have a double freedom. What a blessing that is. So Jack, we're going to start with you, lead us off, and then we'll go to Alan, and then I'll pick back up as well.
Okay, great. We welcome Dan and Ken to the broadcast today. We appreciate their time, and we appreciate their ministry for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dan, we usually ask our guests to give a little testimony of how they came to Christ. That information for me, and I'm sure for our listeners, but for me especially, it just thrills my soul as I hear how Christ has reached out to every single one of us. And those who respond, like you and Ken, it thrills my soul. So if you will, just tell us, how was it that you came to the Lord?
Well, first and foremost, thank you so much, all three of you, for having Ken and myself on your program, on your podcast. It is definitely a great privilege and an honor. And well, to answer your question, ever since I was a young boy, I had a profound love for God. As I'm Hispanic, as you probably can tell with my last name, Rodriguez, I grew up on the island of Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico, back then in the 60s, when I was growing up there, for the most part, it was heavily Catholic, the Catholic religion, of which my parents also belonged to. But there was a friend of mine who was a born-again Christian, and he would serve the Lord in a Wesleyan church. And I received the first seeds of the gospel through him. And we had many conversations. And a lot of things was going on in my life. My mom and my dad were divorcing. So we had a very dysfunctional home with a lot of pain and suffering. And the Lord brought this friend to my life to share the gospel with me. And when he gave me the first seeds of the gospel, and I learned that even though I had a profound love for God in my religion, but he spoke to me about being saved. And that is something that I had never heard before. And I kept on listening to him. And he invited me to his church one day. And for the first time, I see a pastor for the first time. And I always remember he was tall. He had these big, dark glasses. He was bald. He could barely speak Spanish. He was from here, from the United States. And of course, knowing good English, being born in New York City, I was raised knowing English first as my first language. It really, really caught my attention. And I have to admit, it was the Holy Spirit beginning to do the work in my life since I had this respect for God, this love for God, and the desire to know him. So when my friend said, look, according to the book of Romans, if you confess with your mouth, believing in your heart, you shall be saved. I did not argue with that at all in my case. I said to my friend, if that's the way it needs to be, I will gladly receive Jesus right now in my heart. And that was the way that I was born again. That was the first experience I had with an evangelical church, a Christian church, Christian brother. And I did it. And that's when I began to walk with the Lord. And of course, then I was baptized. Hallelujah. And I was a very young man back then. I mean, I was 20 years old, and I'll be 68, Lord willing, in October. So do the math. It's been quite a few years walking with Jesus.
Well, amen. That's a marvelous story, very similar to many of us. I know I came to the Lord very similarly through the invitation of a friend. Mm-hmm. And you and I have we go to the same church. We've met each other, but we really haven't talked a whole lot. So if you would, don't mind, take a few minutes and share how you came to Christ.
Okay, I'd be glad to. And I'll start at a very early age that I remember barely. My mama and daddy drugged me. They drugged me to church when I was 5 years old, to Calvary Baptist Church. And I remember as a youngster, I can remember two other pastors before Mark Courts. And I remember the old church on the corner of 8th and Buxton Streets. And but it was really the result of my Christian upbringing from my mother and father. And I feel very fortunate to have had them as parents, and who gave me a Christian upbringing and did drag me to church every Sunday. And I'm so thankful for that. At the age of nine, I was in a Sunday school class, and I remember the Sunday school teacher at Calvary spoke some words, and I can't tell you what those words were, but the Holy Spirit put me under conviction that morning in that class. And I did not accept Christ at that moment in time, but I was under heavy, heavy conviction. And after Sunday school, you know, we went into the sanctuary, and I was sitting on the second row with some friends, some other colleagues about my age. And all I can remember about, I couldn't tell you what the preacher preached on for nothing. All I know is I was, that entire service, I was under heavy conviction, and God's Spirit was really working in my heart. And I couldn't wait until the end of that church service. I was just under that heavy conviction. When the pastor came down and he gave the invitation, I was standing. I remember standing in my pew, in my seat. We were standing up singing. And I was literally shaking. And the guy next to me, the youngster that was next to me, he looked at me. And he knew what was going on with me. I was just shaking, and he looked at me and he did this number, like, go on, you know. And when I saw him kind of nod his head, I took off and I went down to the front, and I confessed my sin before the pastor and asked him that, you know, I told him I wanted to be saved. And he led me in a prayer. And I accepted Christ at that very moment. And that was the thing that changed my life at that very moment, at that very instant. I felt a newness. I felt God's presence with me at that moment. And I am so thankful for the Christian leadership that has had a tremendous influence in my life, as and with my Christian parents, whom I am so very grateful for. Both of them are passed away now, but Those were the influences in my life that led me to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior at age 9.
Super. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and kick it off here, and then we'll pass it down to Alan here in just a minute. But Dan, how was it that you became interested in a jail ministry?
What a great question. You know, I served the Lord in Florida, in Miami, Florida. Like I mentioned before, since 1994, I was appointed pastor of a church of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And we pastored that church, and the Lord did a beautiful work in that church. The church was really dying, and it was mostly elderly people. And many other pastors didn't want the assignment. But we felt that it was a calling from the Lord, my wife and I, and we accepted that challenge, I will say that. And the Lord just did just a wonderful, wonderful work. And it grew and grew and grew. When 2006 came around, I was visiting up here in North Carolina, and I was invited to preach in a church. And we just fell in love with North Carolina. I believe with all my heart, the Lord put it in our hearts. So eventually we sold our house. And we did resign from that church. We left it in very good standing. I always remember the scene of Paul when he was saying goodbye to the brethren, and they were all hugging and crying because Paul was leaving them. We had the same experience, but the Lord brought us up here and to North Carolina. And maybe you might remember a beautiful brother who's with the Lord today. His name is Gene Cook. And Gene Cook was a volunteer with Calvary Jail for quite a few years. And we met just the Lord doing it, it's not a work of any man. Everything is of the Lord. And through Gene Cook, we met Calvary Jail Ministries, and we served 2 years first as volunteers. And Lord and behold, again, the Lord opens the door for full-time ministry with Calvary Jail Ministry. And we've been serving now full-time in the jails as the chaplain. And I have to give all the honor and the glory and the praise to our Lord. He does it all. The door that he opens, no man can close or shut. The door that he shuts, no man can open. And that's how I've been here. And, you know, if you were to ask me, given a choice, would you go and pastor a church again, or would you continue with the jail ministry? My answer is I'm staying right here with the jail ministry. This is a wonderful, wonderful blessing in my life, in my ministry, my personal ministry. Yeah, I wouldn't change this for anything. And to God be the glory for that.
Even if that door has a bunch of bars and a big lock on it.
Yep.
He still opens those doors, doesn't he?
He does. He does in a miraculous way. And it is a calling. It really is. It's a calling. Like any ministry is a calling. And if we're called by the Lord, then he's going to do it all. He prepares us. You know, I suffer from claustrophobia, believe it or not. And yeah, I do. I admit it. But the Lord gives me the strength and the grace. And that is blocked out of my mind. And yes, I'm in a small space with inmates, and it doesn't bother me. I'm focused on the mission, which is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to these men inside the jails.
Amen. All right, I'm going to pass the baton on to Brother Allen.
All right, Ken, of course, I've known you for a long time, involved with Ukraine and so forth, but tell us about how you got involved with the jail ministry at Calvary.
Okay, I had an invitation to get involved in the jail ministry by a guy by the name of Robert Watson. He gave me a personal invitation, and I thought about it. And then he asked me again a second time, and I said yes. And I went to the jail as a guest with him. And he actually was my mentor or trainer. We always go in pairs into the jail. And so I went in with him and learned the ropes. He had me just kind of sit in, and I just kind of listened and watched the first time or two that I went in the jail with him. And saw how he interacted with the inmates and learned kind of the procedures that you go through. One of the, I remember the one of the shockers was going in and you have that big steel door to slam shut behind you. You kind of know that, hey, you're all by yourself. It's just kind of a strange feeling. I remember something that I read. It said that God tends to put us in places that we don't like and teaches us to like it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is exactly the case with the jail ministry. The need with the inmates, the opportunities for the inmates, the recidivism rate is a whopping 66%, meaning that the inmates, there's a pretty good chance that within 3 years that the inmate will probably be back in jail. And it's a rotation kind of thing. It just continues to happen. The thing that can change that is a changed heart. And that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we can reach that inmate for Jesus Christ, that's our goal, and to change lives on the inside. And this is the opportunities that we have in the jail are huge. Most of these inmates, when they're in the jail, they're at the very lowest place in their life.
Yep.
They can't go much lower. And they certainly have a lot of time on their hands to think. They don't have the distractions that we all have out here in society. And they're in their cell and they have a lot of time to think and ponder about what life is all about and to think about some things that might be a little, that they've not really thought about before. And so for volunteers such as myself to go into the jail and to speak God's truth to them and to share the gospel with them and to share God's word and teach them truth and to let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. And, when they hear the word of God and the Holy Spirit is present in their lives, those two things come together and they can change lives.
Amen.
They can make them different people. And so this is the goal that we have, is to change lives from the inside, on the inside, and prevent them from coming back into the jail to change their lives, to make them different people. And it's an exciting thing to be a part of this ministry, because we're seeing those changed lives. I've been in a Burger King restaurant and ordered lunch, and the guy across the counter says, "I know you," and I did not remember his face, but he says, "I know you. You were in the jail, and you came in and you did a Bible study," and then I remembered, he said thank you. And he appreciated my presence in the jail and that it meant a lot to him. And so, we do know that lives are being touched and people are being saved as a result of hearing the truth of God's word. And the jail, it provides a tremendous opportunity to be able to reach people for Christ.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Before you get there, I'm going to say something here. Is it true this jail ministry covers both Forsyth and Davie?
Ken, you want to cover that? Or?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, we do cover Forsyth County. We also cover Davie County. We also cover Davison County. And now we have the joy to have the privilege to also serve the Lord in Iredell County.
Wow, that's a big area.
The Lord has extended very much our ministry, and we're looking forward to also be extending into Guilford County. So there's a jail in High Point, and there's a jail in Greensboro.
You're going to need a lot more volunteers, aren't you?
Bingo.
Okay, well, yes, I got to get this said, so it'll be, get it off of me. When you go into these jails, you have a captivated audience, don't you?
We certainly do. And like Ken was saying, there's a great need. Let us remember, when we go to visit an inmate that's incarcerated, they're hurting. They're in pain. They are alone. They have lost a lot, almost everything in their lives. They're at their lowest point in their lives, for the most part. Their hearts, for the most part, is tender to receive the good news that God loves them, that God forgives them, that the Lord will always give them a new chance in life if they accept Jesus Christ, if they are willing to turn away from their old life. It's like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is now a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Here they are all made new. And these men and women, because we also have women that visit the females.
What I was going to ask you, there's a
yes,
women
sir. Involved. Yes, sir. We minister to the women that are incarcerated. Everyone has this opportunity that God gives to have a true change that comes from the inside. It does come from the inside. Everyone knows that no jail reforms anyone, but the jail ministry, we are representing the Lord behind these walls. We are ambassadors for Christ, aren't we? And we are going in with the good news, with the gospel. And it's just a wonderful experience when you see someone just come to Christ, to say, you know what, I've tried everything else. I've tried alcohol. I've tried drugs. I've tried everything else in my life. And look where I am today. And when the Holy Spirit touches their lives and they receive Christ, and you see those tears, I'm serious, men with tears. Robert, he has seen men bigger than himself in jail with tears, receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yeah. Oh my God, what an experience. Do you want a ministry that is all about evangelism? That's the jail ministry. It's all about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. You've kind of answered, you know, part of the question that Alan led into. Mm. That's kind of like the 3,000 foot overview of the Calvary Jail Ministries. You know, how many people do you have now that are working in the ministry? You said women go in as well. And I am just surprised but blessed to hear the other neighboring counties where you're going into the jails.
It's praise amazing, the Lord.
Amazing how that ministry has expanded.
And it started only in Forsyth County. Yeah. Robert Watson is the founder, and it started only in Forsyth County. Look what the Lord has done in all these years.
Yeah, that's amazing. So my question, yeah, go ahead, Ken. What were you going to say?
I just wanted to make one comment. The Calvary Jail Ministry started in 1971, and it was actually an offshoot of Mark Court's Share Life program. And through that program, somebody said, let's get in the jail. And it may have been Robert that did that. And so it really started like that. And I think that's was just an important point to make as to how it got started and when it was started in 1971.
Amen.
Yeah. So let me ask you this to our listeners. If someone is interested in maybe that being part of their mission field, they reach out to, the website, calvaryjail.org, to inquire about that. And I'll put a post on the video to that web link as well. So does the coordination go through you, Dan, or?
The coordination can go through me. It can go through Ken. They can visit our website, calvaryjail.org, or calvaryjail.com, and we can receive all the information through our website. If anyone wishes to call me, my phone number is 336-671-3797. I will gladly speak with anyone who is interested. As you were mentioning, Herb, we do have approximately 60 volunteers that are with us. They've been with us for quite a while. And in the three counties that we've been serving now for years, Forsyth, Davie, and Davison. But we are going to be in need for volunteers in Iredale County. And when the Lord opens the door in Guilford, which I believe with all my heart it will happen, we're going to need volunteers also to serve in Guilford County. So absolutely, the jails, as probably we all know, COVID has really made a lot of changes. So for the past 2 years, jails have been locked down. But thank you, Lord, things are beginning to change and they are beginning to reopen. So Forsyth is still not open. Davison is, Davie is on a very limited basis. And Iredale County just opened recently. And so we are looking forward to getting to know their system and getting to get more information, build volunteers, build a team for Iredale County. So if anyone is interested, yes, please contact us. And if you don't mind, if I could take advantage of this moment, I'm not ashamed. We depend on donations. We don't receive any funds from the government. We just depend on brothers and sisters in Christ, churches. It could be personal donations. The website has all the information. You can just get on the website, and if the Lord leads you to give, please do so, because it helps us to continue strong forward with this ministry, reaching these souls for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, my follow-up question is, so when Alan goes in with you to the jail ministry, or Jack goes in with you, what is an event like for a newbie going in with you?
That's going to depend, Herb. Look, this is why I say it's a calling, because we have people that have been with us for years. Praise the Lord. They're so faithful, like Ken and many others. But we've also had the experience of someone that goes through the whole vetting process. There is a process to become a volunteer with Calvary Jail. And there are requirements that must be fulfilled. So we've had people go through the whole process, being vetted, and they go one time, just one time. And they say, you know what, this is not for me. And they don't come back. So we have from people that have been faithful for so many years to people that just went one time and anything else in between. But it will definitely be an experience for anyone that wants to come along.
Okay, thanks. What are
these, can I say something?
Go ahead, Ken.
I just wanted to add that we go through a training process in addition to, you know, requiring applications and vetting, but our training process is very extensive in that, you know, we teach all the rules and regulations that the jail has, do's and don'ts, what they require to get into the jail. The jails actually do a background check on the volunteers that go in. So they have to approve them. Also, in addition to our approval, the jail has to approve them. Like I said, we always go in pairs. So a new person will always go with an experienced person into the jail. And we want to make the volunteers feel very, very comfortable and build their confidence that that they know, you know, they feel that they can contribute something. And it's through the process that we have in place, the training that we have, where we accomplish that with the new volunteer.
Amen.
What are the current hours and days that you go in?
That has changed drastically. And it's still evolving. So right now at this moment, it's minimal. Like Davie County, they are allowing only two people, myself included in those two, for just one day a week at this moment. We are post-COVID, and things are still very much restricted. Davidson County, we used to go every evening, every night, Monday through Friday. Now it's one visit a month. So we're still in this process, and we're praying, and we ask everyone to please pray so that these jails open much more substantially so we can do more work for the Lord. I understand that, you know, there's still so much going on with this COVID. It goes up, it goes down, and we have this variation, that variation. We all see the news. We're all in this together. But we need to pray so that we can have more opportunity to go back in like we used to prior to COVID, which was so much more before.
Well, Jack, can you believe we're at 30 minutes already?
Wow.
Why don't you go ahead and ask another question? And then when we get the answers, we'll pause for a minute and then we'll go into part two. It's amazing. 30 minutes has gone by already.
As you were both discussing this, I was trying to picture, is this, this is not like the state penitentiary. This is like the county jail or the city jail or both. Is that what it is?
These are county jails. They are detention centers. And for the most part, they are located right in a downtown of a like Lexington, for example, the city of Lexington, the city of Moxville, the city of Statesville, and the city of Winston-Salem. They are detention centers, usually located right by the courthouse in each downtown.
Well, listeners, we've been at this 30 minutes now. Amazing interview. We're finding out about the jail ministries in our surrounding counties, and what a blessing that is for those that are serving and those that are receiving. So we're going to take a pause right now. We're going to ask you to be sure to come back to listen to part two of these interviews with Dan and Ken on the podcast of Three Men for Thee, because I know we're going to drill deeper and find out some other interesting facts about the experiences that they've encountered in this God-led ministry.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.